Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Family, there's nothing like it. This past summer, my mom and I took a cross-country road trip. She wanted to go and see Mount Rushmore. And after traveling to Ohio to pick her up, she and I embarked on our grand trip. Excitement was in the air, and the conversations were loaded with pleasantries. Day one, we've not argued once. This is going to be great, I thought. But then I started feeling agitated. Every time Mom turned the page of her book or she reached for something, she made this blowing sound. Does Mom have emphysema? She's never said anything before. No, I thought. She's not exerting any kind of energy, and so she shouldn't be out of breath. Why are you blowing like a whale? The longer I drove, the more agitated I became, until finally I shouted, "Why are you doing that?" "I'm not," she said, as she rolled her eyes at me. "Yes, you are." Silence ensued. Not even the wind passing past the windows made a sound. Our joy was lost, and we had become disconnected. She pulled her Netflix show up, put her headphones on, and for the next several hours, crickets. We made it to our bed and breakfast, where I was able to sneak off and get some me time. As I drove along the road, all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I witnessed the most beautiful scenery that I had ever seen. I had stumbled upon the Garden of God. Out of the earth came these big, beautiful red rock formations, assembled in sporadic formations, piercing the sky. Oh my, look! Mom wasn't there. She wasn't there to witness the beauty with me. My heart sank. Doggone it. How selfish could I have been? Families can be so irritating, but when they're not around you, you miss them. Families are the only people who know how to care for you and can love you as you need to be loved. And yet they can upset you so deeply that sometimes it hurts to even be around them. Family is that organism which affirms our personhood. It affirms us and offers us that nurturing when the world treats us unfairly. When the workday is difficult or school is challenging, it's comfortable to come home to family, because that's where you're going to get your hope. When we affirm people, we demonstrate to them they matter. We affirm one another when we share our joys and sorrows and encourage each other to be the best that we can be. In family, we guide each other like a ship's captain guiding his vessel through the stormy seas. When the ship strays off course and the crew becomes frightened, the captain, like family, helped redirect our paths and steering us in the right direction. When people feel wanted and valued, they go out into the world sharing that same positive outlook, imbuing that same confidence onto those around them. But sometimes, as we grow and experience the world, our ideas and our experiences and opinions may deviate from others in the family. And that can be really unsettling. I'm reminded of a time in divinity school where several of my classmates voiced their concern about returning home for the holidays. They knew when they gathered with their families there was potential for conflict. Perhaps their opinions no longer matched that of their families. And as a result of differing opinions, feelings could possibly be hurt, sides could be taken, and loyalty to the family lost. There was a chance they'd no longer feel comfortable returning home to that unit which loved them into being. Many of my classmates understood the significance of being in family and brainstormed about how they could address the family without losing their connection. We role-played and came up with strategies to redirect conversations, and some of them even chose not to go home. But in the end, they all still loved and cherished each of their family members despite their different ideologies. I've heard families compared to branches on a tree. They grow in different directions, yet their roots remain as one. We are all related to each other and are in relationship with each other. As some of us have left our families of origin because of a job or college, we've encountered others who perhaps been taught different than us. They may embrace different values than us and resolve issues or manage stress different than we do. Or maybe they value traditions which aren't important to us. And because of those differences, we make a judgment. And in that instance, we make a distinction between them and us. In the field of psychology, they use the term cognitive dissonance, or the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes about another. In making those distinctions, we almost always eliminate the possibility of ever being in relationship. It happens just that fast. Now, from my perspective, there are several choices that you can make in this moment. You can choose to find common ground with the other and recognize there are things we do have in common and move forward in being connected. We can choose to recognize the distinctions and forego an opportunity to be in relationship, or we can choose to continue to see the other as conflicting with our values and beliefs, totally dismissing their humanity. Regardless of your choice, as a member in the body of Christ, we are a family. This is what I think the Apostle Paul is doing in this passage this morning. He is addressing his church family, those individuals who become followers of Jesus Christ. As the once exiled Jewish Christians returned to Rome, their habits and traditions differed from their cohorts. As a result of these differences, a disagreement between the two sects erupted. Tensions in the family rose because the two sides could not see eye to eye. One side felt the other was weak, while the other despised their counterparts for making them feel unworthy. Confined in their own ways of understanding God's new covenant, the two sects found themselves estranged from the other. Distraught over the bickering and name-calling, Paul intervened and laid out the rules governing how Christ followers were to function as a family. Paul came to understand the significance of belonging and worked to restore the divided family. Having converted to Christianity, he knew his church family could not sustain itself without a loving connection. Paul knew life without love meant isolation, loathing, and perhaps even hatred. But he also knew God had a bigger plan. Imagine yourself in this position. The pain is unbearable, so you begin to search out those things that you think will resolve your pain, but nothing you do helps. Your behaviors change, the joy you once experienced has vanished, and there's constant internal turmoil. I've been there, and it ain't no fun. The hurt of remembering those things that separated you from God is like a searing burn in your gut that constantly reminds you of your shortcomings. Nothing Paul did could douse the burning pain he felt from being disconnected. He'd suffered blindness, was made to depend on others, and he'd experienced weakness. How frightening could that possibly be of a man with such stature? But here's the good news. God was gracious. God was gracious to Paul by restoring his connection to something bigger than he could have ever imagined. God led Paul to a fulfilling connection that redirected his path and gave him something to look forward to. And joined with a new, renewed purpose, Paul's yearning had been satisfied with his connection with the love of Jesus Christ. Feeling affirmed and renewed, Paul worked relentlessly to spread the good news of love. No longer blind, nor feeling remorseful for his past transgressions, Paul went out into the world spreading hope of God's love. A love that said, "Don't worry, I got your back." It is because we have accepted Jesus Christ as the head of our lives. We are in relationship. We are a family because we said yes to Jesus Christ. We are justified or accepted into the body of Christ. And each time we affirm our faith, we pledge to believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We pledge to trust in God, to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be the salt of the earth, something that is cherished and preserved. As members of the body of Christ, we've promised to live in love rather than fear, never forsaking one another nor denigrating the other. Now, because we said yes to Jesus Christ doesn't always mean we're going to agree on family matters. In fact, there's bound to be times when we disagree, but no matter what, we are connected. In such a case where disagreements occur, we need to extend grace to others, just as Christ extended grace to us. Now, I know that's not the easiest thing to do, but there are things you can do to change that situation. As an example, there's a person ahead of you who's slowing traffic because they're too busy texting and driving. I found myself becoming so upset that all of a sudden these expletives are coming out of my mouth. And I'm like, "Oh my God, where'd that come from?" I've gotten so angry that I find myself trembling. But then I realized my anger really wasn't anger, it was fear for the other. So instead of shouting expletives, I've learned to pray that they make it home safely. You should try it. No judgment, just mercy. In verse 7 of Romans, we hear Paul explain to his family why we must behave differently. He explains, as a family, our cares and concerns shouldn't be directed upon ourselves but on others. And what I think Paul is alluding here is this: everything we do in the name of love, not in relationships to ourselves, but in relationship to the family of God. God has welcomed us all into God's family, and we are to do the same. In 1979, a vocal group called Sister Sledge sang a song composed by Bernard Edwards and Niles Rogers titled, "We Are Family." This song became the number one R&B song of the day. It was the anthem which many of us sang to remind ourselves of why we were here. The song was re-recorded in 2001, after the traumatic events of September 11th, 2001. Rogers, the composer, understood the nation needed to be inspired. Sadness and despair had stolen our joy and left us feeling afraid and alone. He sensed there was a need to recreate a spirit of unity, cohesion, and self-worth among the people. Today, when differences of opinions have divided the family, we need to remember we live for God. God is concerned about our well-being and wants us to know we are connected to something bigger and greater than we could ever imagine. That something is the love of Jesus Christ, which we as members of the family are part of. In our connectedness, we are love and encouragement for one another. And we offer reassurance that in God, all things will work out for the good. Change will come, opinions will differ, and uncertainty will arise. But as we look up and see the beauty surrounding us, remember, God is with us. We are not alone. We live in God's world. Thanks be to God. Amen.